So in spirituality, we talk about self-realization as implying realizing the self as the soul, different from the body. But in psychology, self-realization is used to refer to understanding our strengths, weaknesses, understanding our personality type, understanding our particular inclination psychologically, socially. And that kind of understanding is also very helpful. So in bhakti practice, does that kind of self-realization also come automatically, or do we need to strive separately for it? Answer: Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyad viruddham sattvam ityuta. So in 14.11 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states that when we come to the mode of goodness, at that time we all the doors of the senses get illumined by knowledge. So that means basically we understand what I should take in my senses, what I should not take in my senses. So for example, if I'm an introvert, then too much social stimuli is something which I can't take in. So I need to keep a distance. I can't go for too long into too big a gathering. If I'm an extrovert, then being alone makes me feel down. So I need social stimulation. So these are like individual needs. So we often talk about discrimination only in terms of controlling desires. That's one aspect of it, very important. But there are various aspects of it. So when we come to the mode of goodness, we do understand these things better. Now whether it will happen automatically by the process of bhakti, or whether we should need to conscientiously endeavor, that will depend on person to person. Some people basically come to bhakti and they find some service within bhakti, some role within bhakti, and they go on happily in that role. So by practicing the process of bhakti and doing whatever service comes their way, if they are satisfied, then they are moving forward in the process of bhakti, and that is good for them. But if others are of a more introspective nature, they are somehow not so comfortable in the specific services that they are doing, and they would like to do more, and they would like to find out how best they can contribute, then it is our responsibility to do what it takes to understand ourselves. So at one level, self-realization means understanding the Atma. But at another level, self-realization also means understanding the Sharir and the Mana. Understanding, not identifying with it as we do presently, but understanding that this is the kind of body I have, this is the kind of mind I have, and therefore these are the kind of things which I can do, these are the kind of things which I find difficult to do, and these are the kind of things which I can't do. So now finding that out is important. And if some devotees don't feel inspired to do it because they're chanting and they're satisfied with the process of bhakti, that's perfectly wonderful. But others can do this, and they can do that in the mood of devotion also. So for example, if we know that their parents had some wealth and they have kept it buried somewhere in our family's home, in the backyard or the garden somewhere. Now, digging up that wealth, it may not be a part of the process of bhakti. But in digging up that wealth can help us. It can give us financial stability, it can give us financial resources, and we can use that for serving Krishna. So if there's some important service which you feel inspired to do, if there's some project we wish to contribute, and if we have the resources, then we can definitely contribute over there. So to offer what we can, we need to discover what we have. And to offer our best, we need to discover our best. So just as we wouldn't obviously object to anyone trying to find out what all wealth their parents had left, so that they can use that wealth properly, by let that wealth stay buried somewhere in the backyard, find it and use it. So like that, now we are the only resource we have. We are the most foundational resource that we have for serving Krishna. We means our body and our mind. So, if within the body-mind complex, there are certain talent, there are certain interests, certain capacities to serve in particular ways, to discover that is important. And conversely, if there are some weaknesses also, some limitations, to understand that is also good, because then we won't unnecessarily make life difficult for ourselves as well as others by trying to do things which we are not good at, which simply fall in our zone of incompetence. So, this kind of self-understanding is very important for those who want to become more and more versatile instruments for Krishna. And to do what it takes. We can do it either in the mood of self-promotion, or we can do it in the mood of service to Krishna, of maximizing our contribution. So if we're doing it in the latter mood, then it is very good. Because what we are seeing is that this is what Krishna has given me, this is what I can do with these things, and if I can understand more what Krishna has given me, I can do more with it. So that way, we can see this very positively and move onwards in our life. Now, what kind of exercises can we do? Generally, just like if I had to dig a treasure in my backyard. Now, no, I can learn from some, I can hire someone, or I can learn someone who is good at digging. Who can tell me, okay, now you can use this instrument in this area. This land is like this and you can dig like this. So, there are devotees who have also got into the area of self-help, and they sometimes provide some practical guidelines. They may offer some counseling, which is a combination of psychological and spiritual understanding of self-realization. And that way, we can learn. So basically, the questions like, you know, what is it that I feel comfortable doing? What is it that I am competent at doing? And not only we learn this by introspection ourselves, but we learn it by association also. Now, sometimes we may be very good at something, but we just take it for granted. But somebody else tells you, I just see that when you do this, you blossom. You are so happy. Yeah, you know, but I never thought about like this. So basically, if we have to learn about ourselves by more, it is through introspection and through association. By the combination of these two, we look inwards, that we see what all we have, and we also try to understand how what others see when they look at us, and especially people who are close to us, whom we trust and who understand us. Then both these can become more fruitful if you are practicing bhakti and have come to the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of goodness, when we see inside, we just don't see our cravings. Otherwise, whenever we are alone, and if we are in the mode of passion, then as soon as we have some idle time, immediately we start going to our cravings and think of how I can fulfill those cravings. But when we are with devotees, when we are also practicing bhakti sincerely and we have come to the mode of goodness, then when we look inwards, we will still notice those cravings, but we won't get carried away by them. We'll see beyond them to the substance that is there. And similarly, while associating with others, if we are not in the mode of goodness, then we will be too snappy. In the mode of the passion and ignorance, we will simply want to use others as mediums for gratifying ourselves. Now maybe we want others to praise us so that we feel good about ourselves. Yes, appreciation is a part of every good relationship, but appreciation is not the only part of a relationship. So other aspects also, if somebody gives us some constructive feedback, we'll be better positioned to take it if we are in the mode of goodness. And thus we can move forward in our life. So I would say that those who feel the need for this, they should definitely understand what their body and mind is also. So that they can, not so that we identify, but so that we can understand that this is the vehicle with which I am functioning. And so we can use that vehicle effectively. Thank you.